All right, guys, here we are once again, another installment of Geeks of the Square Table, recording here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
I am Jules. With me today, I have...
Gomer.
Crimson Chris.
He's the Jar Jar Binks.
We have Jar Jar Binks in the house, folks. He's upset because he's not going to be included in the next three films of Star Wars. I would be upset.
He'll
too.
Be there in spirit.
I hope not. Yeah, I hope even no much. Homage to Jar Jar Binks.
Disney wouldn't meet me. He's a labor demand.
Speaking of Disney, I saw the worst thing. They have this commercial now. That stars like Darth Vader. Oh no, it's got the dad like doing the Jedi thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen this commercial?
I have.
And then it's a Disney commercial.
Yep.
My heart sank a little bit after seeing it, because it finally hit home. You know, oh my goodness, that's right.
Luke.
Disney is...
You must drive a Hyundai.
Yes. Luke, your new father is a mouse.
Okay, well, here's my whole thing. So the other day, I was at the mall going to purchase things for work, uniforms, and I just happened to walk into the Disney store. And
No,
I don't know why. I was just like, I'm gonna walk in.
I love the Disney store. But
you know,
go ahead.
I walked in and
I saw like Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid, not for.
Okay, hold on.
What were you seeing?
I walked in and I see these children's costumes for Halloween, and I see the coolest Captain America and Hawkeye. And I'm just like, this is like high quality cap. Like, it's got the helmet.
Yes.
It looks like from the Avengers.
Yeah.
The shield's nice.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, I had to make my own as a kid. It was awful looking.
Cardboard.
Yeah. It's like cardboard in like an old like football jersey. I looked ridiculous. I hated that costume.
But you felt awesome.
But I felt like
kids don't need imagination these days.
No, the high tech.
I would kill to have that like cosplay quality costume at 10 years old.
Oh man,
you get a good costume.
What was the price tag on that?
Oh, I think it was like 30-40 bucks.
That's not terrible for a mall.
Okay, no.
I mean, that's at that price point. Yeah, as soon as I have a child, God forbid, not anytime soon.
Well, maybe they have an extra large that you can squeeze
into. And I'm not even lying. I went through the Hawkeye ones. I was like, yeah, it's a little more purple than the one in the movie. Yeah, I kind of want it. I kind of get some like purple sunglasses. Yeah.
That shade of purple really doesn't work on the screen, though.
No. Having that really bright purple.
Yes.
Yeah. And I totally understand that. But I would have liked for them to have gotten a little more purple.
Yeah.
Or, you know, put like an H on them, maybe? No?
They didn't do that?
No. You saw the Avengers.
Oh, you mean in the... talking about the costume.
No, the costume is the one from the Avengers.
It had the H on it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It could have gotten a little more Hawkeye-ish. But,
Larry was talking about movies.
Oh, yeah. So, Larry recently saw Captain Phillips.
All right, so, I got a sneak peek into Captain Phillips. Now, Captain Phillips hasn't been really highly promoted other than... at other movies.
Yeah.
So
yes.
If you haven't been to the movies here lately, you might not have heard anything about it. Now, we all know how it's going to end because the real Captain Phillips has been going around doing the talk show.
It's like Titanic.
Yeah.
We knew how that was going to end.
What it's all about, basically, is Tom Hanks plays a character called Captain Phillips, and he gets abducted by Somali pirates.
Yeah, yep. Tom Hanks
hijacked
the
or whatever.
Best actor of our time.
Right. Probably. So, and definitely, let me say, I loved the movie. First 15 minutes is slow, basic setup.
Yeah.
Just kind of
introducing everybody.
But it was very much... a castaway, like, in the way that if you don't like Tom Hanks, you're not going to like this movie.
Okay. I think most Tom Hanks movies are like that nowadays.
It was very much, he drove the movie, him and the play with the hijackers.
Pirate.
The guy who played the Somali pirate, which I have no idea who he was or anything, but he was very gaunt, very much looked the part.
Yeah.
Either they actually went and got actual pirates or an actor starved himself for the role.
They just went to Somalia and just grabbed a D and said, hey.
Hey, we're going to make your life.
Don't even worry about the lines.
Things. And by American standards, to see somebody that thin on the big screen was, throw you off.
Well,
added to the movie.
Well, I did hear that Tom Hanks was considerably slimmer in this movie. He's got type 2 diabetes and they were making a big deal out of it. Besides the point a little bit, go ahead.
I didn't notice him being any slimmer. And for the most part, all the action takes place between Tom Hanks and the one pirate. The
so it's a lot of dialogue.
Crew.
Okay.
Very much cat and mouse type setup.
Okay. That's cool.
Once they actually get the pirate hijacking, then it takes off, and it's just a game of cat and mouse.
That's cool. What do you mean cat and mouse? Like they're chasing each other on boats?
Well, all the crew hides, and he's of course trying to keep them safe, and he's like, I don't know where the crew is, while trying to warn the crew that they're coming and searching the ship and all this other stuff.
Okay.
Awesome. There was one thing that bugs me that I noticed. Like, okay, now this was a Sony picture, so I understand.
Okay.
But in the world of this picture, the entire Navy uses nothing but Sony Vaio laptops.
Oh man, you know it.
Man.
You know it.
You know
that's the only thing that bothers me.
That's military, right?
Right.
It doesn't crash. It doesn't ever crash. You know, they use that.
That and, so I was like, that's okay. The clear product placement.
Dude,
right,
you know,
the
U.S. military needs multimedia computers. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Podcasts, videos. They need that.
Yeah, they do.
Nowadays, yeah.
Other than that, I didn't see a whole lot of product placement in it, except for whenever they panned off to the ship, it was covered in logos.
Of course.
But, that's life. Product
the movie was paid for
me.
Before it even hit one screen.
If you like Tom Hanks, you'll love the movie.
Cool.
It's definitely worth seeing, in my opinion.
Okay.
Awesome. See it in the theaters or wait for the disc? Come on.
If you regret seeing Castaway in the theaters...
I did.
Then you should go see this in the theater.
Dude, Wilson was great. It was the 45 minutes of silence.
Wilson!
The 45 minutes. The bright point of Castaway for me was him knocking his tooth out with an ice skate. What?
Oh, that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Metal, man.
I was like...
loved it.
I will say, if you do go see it in the theater, don't get the large soda. You're sitting there watching them float on the water. The entire, like,
is it
two
a long
hours.
Movie? Is it 2 hours?
It's about
minute?
2 hours, something like that.
Did you get to see Gravity? I know you saw Captain Phillips.
I did not see Gravity.
So see, I was
you know, one thing that did actually piss me off about the experience, the bigger impression that I made is the theater I went to see it was Opry Mills Theater.
Yeah.
And, that's supposed to be one of the best... the best theaters around here.
In the area,
I had to wait 30 minutes in line just to get a fucking drink of popcorn. I was so upset by that.
Larry,
so I went into
you know
it
to
was,
wear cargo was, pants and just bring your own stuff.
You gotta, gotta beat the system. Yeah. You also got to see 5 movies.
Geeks of the Square Table does not, support.
We don't support that at all.
We don't support that at all. But
we won't frown
for those
on you
kids,
to do it.
Like me. Grew up in the hood. Grew up in the hood.
Hey, I legitimately don't support that.
What, taking in your own food?
Taking out in your own stuff.
Oh, no.
Here's why.
Go ahead. Wait,
because,
that's
okay. really, I know the movies and companies make them. The fact is, movie theaters are dying.
Yeah.
I think they
and
should.
I think
be
Larry
buried.
Is just a really good red-blooded American. And
I
respect
that. I think we
now,
should.
Well,
bury
them your bigger corporate movie theaters, okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of small theaters that just really need your support.
I agree.
Like the Belcourt up in Nashville.
Belcourt's different, though. Belcourt shows old movies, the retro feel.
Right. And they're also a non-profit movie theater.
Exactly. That's a little different. But I think movie theaters. Should die. It's not the 20s anymore when we need air conditioners.
I'm going to start throwing stuff at
you.
Air conditioning in my house. I have a 60-inch TV and Blu-ray. I don't need to go to the theater so I can watch one movie and hear 3 because I can hear both movies going on next door during the quiet parts of the movie I'm watching. Then I get the kid behind me kicking my chair, people crinkling their damn, wrappers and throwing their drinks around and, let me answer my phone call. Then I can't smoke a cigarette and I can't take a leak.
Check this out. I was just about
to
say that.
It's better to watch it at home.
The best parts about watching a movie at home, for people like me, or not at home, but in the theater, if you don't smoke, you don't have to worry about somebody pausing the movie so they can take a smoke break.
True, okay.
That's awesome.
Okay,
on the small screen.
Pacific Rim on the small screen is blasphemy.
And I completely agree with that. There are a lot
of movies.
movies that are better on the big screen.
I will say this.
And I'm sorry that
it's difficult.
You know, maybe not everyone in America can afford the 5-foot TV.
How many movies have you seen in a year? Maybe you can.
Hold on. Now, all I'm saying is, for the budgeted American, like myself, at some point, I had a tough life.
Yeah, $15 IMAX, $15, that's a deal, right?
Yeah, but $10 and you go at 3 in the afternoon, you see 5 movies and you will go back to the concession stand and get those refills.
But how many movies are you paying for when you go see that?
Now,
one,
okay.
But you're seeing 5. Yes.
But down,
there
like
are
$2
theaters that are way too expensive.
Way too expensive.
Yeah, right. You know, once it hits 5,
here's the thing.
I think movies
spend $20-$30.
Yeah.
You and a friend go to a movie theater and boom, have a night out of it.
Yeah. No, I see the appeal.
It's a night out, and there are some things I definitely want to go see in theaters.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, the last one I saw in theaters was End of the World, the Simon Pegg, Nick Frost.
Yeah, I watched that the other day.
You
Fantastic
know, and that
movie.
One probably wouldn't
great
have
movie.
Been
great movie.
Anything lost having not seen it in the theater.
It was
hilarious. It was worth it.
That was the first movie in years that I actually had to go back and rewind a few times because I was laughing so hard at a joke I missed follow-up
crucial dialogue.
Oh, it was awesome movie.
We were talking about movies that you should see in the theaters.
Yes.
I was fortunate enough. I just saw Gravity yesterday, actually. And it's one of those movies, like the effects, you know, you expect the effects to be really nice in that movie.
Yeah.
The effects were nice enough where I'd seeing on the big screen made it worth it.
It makes the argument
the
for
movie
IMAX.
was actually good. It was
see,
actually
now
really
my
good.
Problem with IMAX is literally I watch something in IMAX, my eyes water.
You leave with a headache?
Yeah, it's just too much.
It's too much.
Red-blooded American.
And unfortunately,
that's evidence that I use to suggest that movie theaters are on their way out. IMAX wasn't a big deal, even though I went to an IMAX theater in the 90s. IMAX wasn't a big deal until everyone was able to get 60-inch TVs and Blu-rays in their house. Yeah. And then they're like, we need to do something else.
About another 30 feet right.
Yeah, but how are you going to do that, though? It's the building's
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, you can, but...
You know, IMAX is not necessarily a good idea, I don't think. And I love the concept of 3D, but they've yet to make a 3D that can work effectively on most of the population.
Yeah, and it looks great if you can see it. It's awesome. Yeah. But
and you got to really be sitting in the right place for 3D.
Yes.
If you're not sitting in the center, trust me, I've been in a 3D movie where I'm far right or far left, and it sucks.
It does.
I feel like most of the movie is lost on me because of that.
The experience at home is getting
3D
better and better.
3D does not work on me at all.
Yeah.
I have two different eyes, you know.
Yeah. Astigmatism.
That's
what I have.
So it doesn't work whatsoever.
Lost. Yeah.
Even the new stuff. Now,
this is filmed completely in the 3D.
Now, what does work, and I do love, is the active 3D. But that's too expensive at the moment for theaters.
So much money.
But
now,
what's moving quicker though? Is that moving quicker? The active 3D of getting into theaters, or
what
is
actually going to happen first is we're going to have
80-inch
glasses,
TVs in our house.
Glasses-free 3D.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah,
sorry.
We're going to definitely have the glasses-free.
Yeah,
that technology is going to advance more.
But I think the home viewing experience is moving a lot faster than the going into the theaters and watching it.
Especially when you have...
They stream. I mean, those places, they stream those films to you straight from the headquarters. Why can't you stream it right now?
Well, actually, they
pay $30.
They have a... terabyte hard drives that get hand delivered because the digital master files on the 4K and the other digital formats run 500 to a terabyte.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I was talking with
a high resolution.
I knew a guy who ran a movie theater and he was like, I just download them. He's like, they make it available on our site and we download them.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was feeling me a bunch of bull, but I was
It would take them a long time to download it. It would cost them a lot. So a lot of the new 3D movies, they just send them a hard drive.
Yeah. Do they?
Quality of the theater.
Yeah.
Like
smaller
theaters. You know, it's too high to download.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because 4K is...
You don't have the bandwidth for it.
Yeah,
it'll take you weeks.
Four times what we would consider high def, you know, what a Blu-ray is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and even Blu-ray is actually compressed, even though it's 25 gigs. you're talking an uncompressed file, you know, yeah, for something like that.
Super big.
Yeah. We'll run you about a gig a minute. And yeah, or...
Yeah,
it's just crazy. Unless you shoot actual video, you have no concept of how large those files get.
Larry's movie major. Fastest internet in the world. If we got up to around number one or two, wouldn't be that big of a deal.
No,
here's the thing.
We can do it in no problem.
Yeah.
The prophet is in charging us more for the internet, not giving us more.
Exactly,
steam.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
that's another story altogether. I think, or it was you, Gomer. You said something about, you know, why go to the theater?
Go to the theater?
I think I got an answer for it, or I can try to answer it. I think people generally go to a movie theater to get out of the house.
Yeah.
It's also a group experience.
Yeah. I was going to say because the experience, but the experience gets lost.
I'd spend $30 on a movie the day it came out if I could watch it at home, and then I would invite people to my house to watch it with me.
Here's the thing. It's Tennessee Williams' good old-fashioned escapism.
You're right.
It's just feeling like you're not at home anymore.
Yeah.
Feeling you're in this other world. It's the suspending your disbelief. It's our version of actual theater.
I agree that I understand the appeal. I just think there are negative factors that keep me from going to see movies in the theater. Hollywood not making a lot of good movies is prime on that list. But all the other things I said before.
I think Gomer is actually one of those people who threw pool parties a bunch at his house, but it was actually like a few kiddie pools that were a little bigger than each other with water.
That reminded me, the last movie I went to see in the theater wasn't in the world. It was the Riddick movie.
Oh, yeah.
Why did I go see it? Because five other people are like, hey, we're all going to see this movie.
Yep.
And I'm like, why not? The only reason they chose that movie is because it just happened to be the best one.
Why did I even contemplate going to see Captain Phillips? Because you hit me up and asked me if I wanted to go, and I wouldn't have had my damn kids hanging around. I'd have been gone.
How does that work? I wanted to go, too.
Yeah, I'd have been gone. But you're absolutely right, yeah. But honestly, I think movie theaters are on the way out. I think home technology is getting to the point.
I love movie theaters.
Here's the thing. I think they're going to slim down a lot.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to go away.
Well, drive-ins haven't gone away either.
Right. So, and that technology went out of date 50 years ago.
Exactly.
But you can still drive like an hour, but get to a drive-in theater.
Yeah.
There's one on the Kentucky state line. There's one about an hour south.
There's one about an hour in any direction.
My kids, they're like, to get away, why aren't we going inside? And they're like, no, that's the thing. And they're like, well, we don't like it. We want to be inside.
But isn't it a funny thing to say that movie theaters are on the way out when they're making more money than ever nowadays?
Inflation.
Inflation. I think they're making more money because they're charging more money per ticket.
Right.
If the same number of people were going to the movies that went to see the movies back when, like, Ghostbusters was popular.
Right.
Ghostbusters would make $1 trillion today.
If you were to adjust prices for inflation.
Yes.
Gone with the Wind is still the highest grossing film.
Exactly.
If you were to adjust it for inflation.
Why did
back then, there was only one or two movies out.
Yeah. But why did everybody go see Gone with the Wind back in the day?
Because it was the only movie shown at that one theater.
It was 3 hours in the air conditioning. They didn't have air conditioning
back then.
They did in the theaters. That was the main drive of the theater. That's
when you got your news, too. You would go and they would show the news.
Exactly.
And you got cartoons.
Superman.
That brings me to another phrase that bugs me. The best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
There are a couple of key inventions that have happened since sliced bread. Sliced bread was invented in 1928. Air conditioning was invented in 1936.
The internet.
Penicillin was invented in 1932. And the internet in 1984.
But saying that's the best thing since penicillin, this doesn't have the same ring.
It does not have the same
ring. That's like saying that's the best thing since condoms. That doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
And condoms are awesome.
Condoms are great.
They're awesome. Thank goodness.
Keeping people from having babies since I don't even know when.
Thank goodness.
But whenever somebody says that phrase, it's the best thing since sliced bread. It's always something that I'd rather have sliced bread than whatever the hell that is.
Yes.
And not to mention all those other key things.
Sliced bread really
From now on, we're going to say...
We just go...
Have you ever tried to slice your own bread? It always slashes and flattens.
But one end is like this thing, and then my back end is like this big.
It's a pain in the ass.
Back from Germany, and we took rolls, and you cut the roll in half and made a sandwich out of that.
See?
That sliced bread
ain't all that.
Well, technically, you're slicing the bread.
I'd rather have a roll.
I'm just letting you know.
So we got some new people in. We got some new people. It's not just the four of us today. We got the whole shop in here.
Yeah, the whole shop is starting at its 50 cents. And from now on, we're just going to say it's the best thing since Larry got really pissed off about sliced bread. I'm going to say from now on, I'm like, yeah, it's the best thing since Larry got pissed off about sliced bread.
That's fine. And I'd also like to take this time to say goodnight, Elaine.
Again!
Yes, Larry.
I can't believe that happened again. Elaine, you know I love you. You haven't texted me today, by the way.
Because she's texting me.
No, she was awake till 4 in the morning. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's cool. Finish up on Gravity, man. Who was there?
It'd be like 2 hours of me seeing people float in space, and I was like,
you do see a lot of people float in space. So,
now,
like,
and here's another thing.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you know this, but if an astronaut gets separated from the space station, they have a cyanide capsule in their suit.
Yes, they do.
But yeah,
they
will kill themselves.
But that is not really something that is.
So the actual premise of the movie is not something that would actually happen.
Yeah,
it could have been a movie that ended in like 3.7 minutes.
Yes.
But that's not a movie. So
isn't there
of
one
course
part
we have a lot of character building. We have George Clooney doing his thing.
And astronauts never looked that good, by the way.
Oh man, they look great.
They've never looked
Astronauts never looked that good. Yeah.
I don't think they get that much high definition on the cameras they use in space, so they don't look as
right.
Hot.
Right.
The cameras in space are a lot better than what we get.
Well, Hubble, if you're counting Hubble.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about the satellites looking down.
Yeah, I was talking about the handheld cams the astronauts are using to take pictures of
you say all those NASA satellites are good. Do you know the NSA? They were going to dispose of 4 spy satellites, and they said, "Yeah, we're just going to throw these away." Hey, NASA, do you want these? And they're like, "Yes, this is twice as good as the stuff we're using now."
Yeah.
And this is like the NSA's crap. They're just disposing of.
If you were to go see Gravity, for one, you definitely can't see it with Larry. Because Larry's going to be the guy that's like...
bullshit the whole
time. Yeah, he's going to be the guy that's like, well, this debris would have killed her.
Well, isn't there a scene where they go from the destruction of the ISS and the shuttle and try to go to Hubble?
Or I think it's Hubble to ISS.
Yeah, well, those two things are in completely different orbits. Hubble is at a much higher orbit to avoid all kinds of other space debris.
Yeah, and that's the kind of shit
me and Larry would be fake.
Exactly.
Fake.
Guys,
you go see it.
We read comic books.
Dude, it doesn't matter.
At the same time, we would be screaming fake at the lightsabers.
Yeah,
and,
but when you go see the Man of Steel, you hate Superman for it's all ridiculous.
Yeah,
but like I was saying,
I just want to know what the Man of Steel has against IHOP. At Best Buy.
Against every
childhood bully was like the manager there. So.
Yeah.
Life really.
So he just, whenever he went to fall, aimed for an IHOP.
Everyone forgets, but Smallville, Clark Kent worked at an IHOP, he had a terrible experience. He wanted to blow it up, never got to, because Papa Kent was like, no,
you know,
Clark, just because you got fired doesn't mean you can blow up the IHOP.
You know, I guess they were driving on their way to IHOP when the tornado killed
him. Because if that was my kid, I'd be like, kick his ass.
I know.
Don't hold back. No, I'd be like,
just throw him into a car. Like, he won't die. This won't ever mess with you again.
Yeah, if I was Papa Kent, I would have, like, I would have been a terrible person.
You have heat vision, set him on fire.
Everything.
You
know, Papa Kent was a terrible person in that movie. He's like, you should have let those kids die.
Yeah, he is. He's a terrible person.
He's kind of an asshole.
He is. Because he doesn't want people to know about him.
Yeah. A little short this month.
The one thing they didn't cover in that movie is Superman as a teen getting brought home by the principal. For some reason, your son spent all this time in the closet next to the girls' locker room. We couldn't figure it out, but he just locked himself in there.
Those are the lost years.
The lost years.
You never knew what happened.
I would love those lost years of like Clark Kent trying to discover his sexuality, because I'm sure that's hilarious. I'm sure at some point in time he has like a super boner that just ruins his man.
every day he's got to bring an extra.
Oh, no!
You know, Kevin Smith brought up in Mallrats, shoots alone like a shotgun.
Wonder Woman's the only one who can
read the probe.
That's why he's dating
the probe.
Thanks to Kevin Smith, there's a Superman Wonder Woman book, because we all know Wonder Woman's the only one who can take a load.
I hope that book's just.
And people say comic books.
I expect
that comic actually dropped today, Superman Wonder Woman. Where do we think that comic's going to end? Because they have been building on this new relationship in the Justice League in New 52.
Are we going to have
a Super Wonder Baby?
Super Wonder Baby. I'm down for Super
Wonder. Why not?
Because we'll that's like such a big continuity shaker.
What is it though?
I'm gonna patent that. Superboy.
It's the same reason they can't kill Aunt May. They can't Spider-Man have a kid because
Spider-Man technically does have a kid.
That happens.
Alternate futures are always fair.
She's still there too.
Yeah, she's still. She's not in 616. She's in.
Well,
maybe a future.
Now, in the Marvel Universe, there's the Ultimates, where they let them do all this crazy stuff.
Well, that's
there
used to
be. Is there going to be a DC version of that?
It's called Earth 3.
Earth 1, maybe.
Earth 2.
Well,
Earth 2 is pretty much Justice Society.
Earth 2 is them doing their thing, but they still have rules on Earth 2. Yeah. Like, they're not allowed
to do
certain
things. It's pretty much just Justice Society
characters. Earth 2 is too much of a part. That has its own continuity.
Yeah, Earth 2. Earth 1, as far as just those hardcovers go, the Superman that are... There's
Superman,
two of them out.
Batman.
There's Batman and there's Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
First quarter of next year, we're supposed to get it. But they can do some of the Ultimate stuff over in that. I don't think we need Ultimate stuff in DC.
I think they will do Wonder Woman getting Prego, but I don't think it's going to be Superman's. I think it's going to be Orion's, because if you read Wonder Woman...
Or Trevor, right?
Yeah, she straight up cheats on Superman with Orion for a second.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because Orion is the son of Darkseid.
Are you talking about baby mama drama in the DCU? What?
They're gonna cross.
I mean, they gotta do something. I mean,
well, didn't Bruce
Marvel's been
Batman
doing baby mama drama since the 60s?
Didn't Batman tell Superman at the beginning of their relationship, don't do this because something terrible's gonna happen?
Yeah,
you're gonna have to stop.
Yeah, Batman's all like, dude, bro, it's your four hosts, man. Come on.
You justify that by saying if Wonder Woman goes rogue, you are literally the only person on Earth
who can stop her. Yeah,
complicated if you're dating her.
Yeah, and this logical. That's all Batman.
Remember, because in Trinity War, she was trying to save Superman by hurting everybody. Yeah.
But then Batman and Bruce, he forgets his own, illogical love for Catwoman, for Selina, and they're...
But at the same time...
And she's trying to fix herself, and Batman's influencing that, but...
Bruce needs to get his cowled head out of his latex.
How egotistical is Bruce Wayne just to go, hey, Superman, I know you're this superpower hero, but nah, you can't sleep with her.
Yeah, you think Batman's one of the cock blocker. He's a cock blocker.
Hold on.
Batman's just look, I know in another universe I'm with her, so fuck you.
Yeah.
It's the warp.
I've been scheming on that for days. I call dibs.
Well, my whole thing is, earlier in the New 52, Wonder Woman got pissed and went crazy.
Yeah.
And everyone else tried to stop her, and nobody could. Everyone got their asses whooped.
And she was
Superman. Yeah. Superman was the only one who could physically stop her
and calm her down. She was off the hinges a bit at the beginning of the Trinity War.
Yeah. And she's gone off the hinges quite a bit, and the only person, as they've established in New 52, who could literally...
Green Lantern did
everything to stop her.
You're telling me that I had to hear nerd rage about Wonder Woman wearing pants,
about
a woman going crazy every so often,
On
a regular basis, didn't piss anybody off.
Yeah, what are you implying? What are you implying, Larry?
Easy. I still think the pants could go. I could do Wonder Woman in pants. She wore pants during the 90s.
Well, that's a power suit, right?
I'd like to see a power suit.
I'd be cool. If you introduce a female character wearing pants, she does significantly less sales than those who are wearing, bikini pants.
Yeah.
That's not true. Look at the Marvel Universe. They all wear pants.
Zatanna's wearing pants now. She's cool still.
Yeah.
Was she always wearing pants?
No, she was always a fishnet.
Who does Marvel have with Wonder Woman that has its own?
Jean Grey is always worn pants.
Jean Grey has worn pants. Marvel.
Storm wears pants.
She wears
titles. I mean, I know what you're saying.
You're right. Storm wore that all-white suit for the longest time.
Yeah, iconic costume, though.
She had a big jacket, though.
No, her iconic costume was, with the mohawk and the leather pants. She wore leather pants. That is the Storm. And the all-white.
She doesn't carry a book. I mean, that was number one. You got Wonder Woman.
if you're going to have a lead female, I mean...
Yeah, but Invisible Woman has always worn pants, and everybody always... She's let's invisible. Be honest, we all had something for Jack Kirby's Invisible Woman.
I did.
I did.
I'd be cool I've with, got that poster. I'd be cool with Wonder Woman going back to, like, a skirt, man.
Yes.
I think there's a place for that. Why not embrace the whole female persona, man? Go for it. I wish I could walk around in a skirt and not get looked at. Well, have you ever worn a kilt or comfy?
I do like...
Comfy!
There's genuine progress there, because, like...
I could go on a rant about kilts, because people always think that any guy wearing a skirt is a kilt.
No.
But I tell you what.
Just Jonathan Davis from Corey.
All right. Has to be plaid and has to be made out of wool. Those are the rules. If it's not made out of wool and it's not plaid, it's not a kilt, it's a skirt.
It's got to be.
Accept it.
And it's got to be layered.
If you're a guy, you want to wear a skirt? Fine.
Sorry, Jared Leto.
I don't care.
You don't wear
it. It has to be something.
It's skirt.
And if it's not, and if it's worn by a woman, it's not a kilt. It's a tartan skirt. And it has to be made out of a Scottish wool called a tartan.
Yeah, Braveheart. Okay. Watch Braveheart, guys.
Okay, my next thing is...
extremely inaccurate historically.
Extremely.
Extremely inaccurate. But he mentioned this earlier. Talking about women in skirts carrying books. Awesome. Captain Marvel has had her own book for almost 2 years now.
Yes.
And in that whole title, she's never worn anything but pants.
Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Kelly Sue DeConnick.
She's awesome.
And that's a great book.
Yeah, we're also seeing more female creators.
Yeah.
Her book, Pretty Deadly, is still coming out this month, next month.
Yeah, Pretty Deadly.
Awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
Can
is,
we go back to Wonder Woman for a second?
Yeah, we'll go back to Wonder Woman eating pants.
Has she been, like, super powered even more so than she was pre-New 52?
Yes, because she's a
now
lot.
Now she's a literal demigod.
I know, but they kind of, like, didn't retcon it. They kind of said, you know what, you've always been like this. So, like, they kind of told her, hey, you're a demigod now. So she's like, oh, I'm a demigod now? I can do all this extra crazy... Wait, I just...
Apparently she takes off her...
It's weird.
...silver bracelets, and that unlocks the Zeus-ness inside.
Oh, okay. So the bracelets that saved...
gave her power?
Yeah, the bracelets that saved her ass.
Yeah, because they're bulletproof. She just uses them to block bullets.
So now she doesn't even...
Now she's, like, even more powerful.
Like Superman.
Like the way they were
cool with
that. She was fighting, I think it was Artemis. A full-blooded god.
Yeah.
She was beating the shit out of Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's like, fuck this. Throws off her bracelets. And she's like, oh, you don't...
Pretty much like
throwing
Piccolo.
Off your best defenses, eh? Yeah, fuck you. And then she just beats the shit out of
her. Oh, that's cool.
Does everyone remember when Artemis was Wonder Woman?
All right, man.
See you later, dude.
But there's my problem with that.
I do remember when Artemis was Wonder Woman.
And it was awesome?
Yes.
My problem with that is, you know, like, nobody can stop her. Yeah. Do you guys not remember that Martian Manhunter is strong as balls?
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter is just like the problem stepchild of the DC universe.
He is.
He's the most powerful character. He is the most powerful character.
He can phase through your brain.
Superman physically, and he has all these psychic powers.
Yeah,
and
he can phase.
He can physically stop Superman without flinching.
Yeah.
Because he could literally just go through Superman's mind and shut him down.
Do they nerf him on a more cerebral level? Do they, like, bring him down on a more cerebral level?
No, no. At New 52, he's worse because he's, like, mean. He's but not like the downside. Or John Jones.
He's out with evil. Like Apollo and Midnighter. And,
yeah,
he doesn't seem. Like
yeah, he was on the Authority for a while.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Oh, Stormwatch.
Yeah,
but and that's where I was going. Stemming back from Stormwatch, he doesn't seem like he's just this outright douchebag who's going to do whatever he can to get his own thing done. The kind of way they're suggesting he is in Justice League of America.
Well, in Stormwatch,
you know what I mean?
He
doesn't
like
seem in Justice League of America. He seems almost like he has it over on Argus.
Yeah,
like he's like, yeah, I'm going to join your team, but I have my own agenda. Well, and no one else on the team seems to really have that. Like, Hawkman's there just because he wants to beat the shit out of stuff.
Yeah.
Catwoman's there just so she can get over,
well,
you know?
Green
she's
Arrow's
like, oh, I'm
there because, like, the Justice League want to take
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah. But they'll take Firestorm. Give me a break.
But here's my other thing.
Firestorm, Element Girl.
Oh, Element Girl was okay. And I think the only reason they brought those guys in there was so they could bring in Atomica and not have the same, like, oh, we just brought Atomica in.
Yeah.
And so they could have the kryptonite in Superman's head and then be able to find it.
But,
the only reason they brought those two people in, which seemed really weird.
No, but they talk about it in Justice League that they try to get Martian Manhunter to join them, and he beat everybody up.
Yeah,
and then he just was like, "They're not ready."
Yeah,
so he just hangs out on the moon.
The thing about Martian Manhunter is he has a unlike Superman. You know, it's pretty hard to find kryptonite.
Yeah,
yeah.
Unless it's a plot device that week.
Exactly.
But it's pretty goddamn easy to just make fire or whatever.
Yeah.
Especially.
But I don't think they've done that as much in New 52. That's his weakness, the way it was in pre 52.
Yes.
Oh, he's got to have something, otherwise he conquers the Earth.
I know.
But that's the thing.
That's why it's cerebral. Like, he doesn't want to conquer the Earth.
Yeah, well, he does. You know, yeah, he's got his own agenda.
Yeah.
Well, just like plot wise, though, it's so, kind of like you have to have some weakness for your hero.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a lot of work. Dude, does anyone remember when Doctor Doom conquered the Earth and he was all bummed out?
Yeah.
Dude, I love that.
Doctor Doom conquered a universe and he was literally God. He had the Infinity Gauntlet.
Well,
and it's like, this is so boring.
Yeah, he was so bored. Yeah, he's like, oh, man.
His run where he conquers that, like, beats the Celestials and conquers that universe.
There's always a catch, isn't there?
Yeah. And he's like, it sucks. Yes. And then they uprise on him because he got bored with it.
That's a good Doctor Doom line. It's when they take him out. He's like, "Well, I was a god, and I found it beneath me."
Yes, yes. Love it.
Oh, Hickman, why? Why did you stop writing that book?
But I mean, well, John. But you were saying about John Johns how, like, he said the Justice League proper, like, they weren't ready to accept him. But then why would he join Justice Society of America unless he's got his own agenda? I'm just hoping for Ever Evil. It seems like they brought Justice Society or Justice League of America together just so they could do a Trinity War, just so they could do Forever Evil. And it seems like it's a cool team. There's a lot of awesome people on the team, a lot of attitude.
They didn't get to really do much.
And they haven't done
shit,
so I'm hoping that Forever Evil kind of puts a new highlight on, new focus, spotlight, whatever, on those Jokers in the Justice League of America.
Okay, so
I dig them.
I'm gonna start
They're
a little conversation.
Great team. Go ahead. Switch gears
here. Last 10 minutes of the podcast. I want to ask everybody who was your first major writer that you cared about. That is not a classical writer. You cannot mention a Silver Age writer or a Golden Age writer. That's just silly. No Bob Kanes. No Stan Lees. None of that. Your first, like, first love as far as a writer goes.
Claremont.
Easy. Claremont.
Easy.
That's a classical writer.
No, it's not. Okay,
so
Silver Age. No.
Like, anytime after, like, 1990.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
Bendis.
Bendis. We'll go 80s to 90s.
Then
80s
Bendis.
To 90s.
Then Bendis.
You think? That was your first writer that you followed?
If you're not talking about Claremont or anything like that.
Yeah, you can't go classical. I told you.
I didn't really follow creators, man. I moved around to characters and things like that.
Neil Gaiman counts.
Neil Gaiman is a great choice. But I still love Claremont. I follow
Claremont.
Claremont
was incredible,
But I really started following a writer when Bendis started disassembling the Avengers. It was fantastic. And then he got on an Avengers, a new Avengers, and I thought it was a breath of fresh air into a stale piece of crap that the Avengers had become.
It
had become stale. No, it wasn't terrible.
He made it stale.
It had gotten stale.
Because it was so B-listed.
Who's the one who wrote Ultron on it? It was that Kurt Busiek.
Astro City Kurt Busiek, But I think Bendis kind of got stale for me in Avengers because his stories just didn't really go anywhere.
No, because he wrote all the events.
He wrote the same story over and over.
He
found one villain he liked and he would use him for 2 years uninterrupted. Like, it was nothing but the Hood. And then it was nothing but Norman Osborn.
He's right.
Christian?
Writers, creators.
Writer that you really cared
about.
It's
tough. It is tough. Because, I mean, see, for me, I didn't just start off reading one comic, you know? I had one comic to read, it was Batman.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I was old enough to go out and get my own comics, Batman was garbage around that time.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have a writer. I had, like, a characters I followed.
Yeah, that's
so
how
I'd
I
have
was
to, I'd
a
have
lot.
To say, like Miller or or Alan Moore, you know, somebody like that.
Yeah.
I would read anything that Miller wrote.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who?
Wolfman.
Marv Wolfman.
Yeah, Marv Wolfman.
That's a great one.
Fun bit of trivia about Marv Wolfman. He's actually the reason that comic creators started getting a credits page in comic books.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Marv Wolfman.
Yeah.
Originally, they never gave him credit, but they actually included his name in a comic as a fuck you to the Comics Code Authority.
Yeah.
Because, like, you weren't allowed to mention supernatural things like vampires and werewolves. Yeah. And,
but you can mention Wolfman.
Yeah, because that's his actual name.
Right.
So fuck you, Comics Code Authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, and video
that's
games
awesome.
Used to be the same way.
Yeah.
And that's how Easter eggs became a thing.
Yeah.
Is developers and programmers would program their name into the game.
Mortal Kombat, Sonic.
Yeah. Whoopsie.
Right. Larry,
well, to be honest, you know, I really, as a child, I never read comics. I didn't even
get
like them.
Get out!
Exactly. And it wasn't until about 7 years ago, around issue 19, somebody told me There's a zombie comic. It's really good.
Here comes Kirk.
So, well, no, no. Go ahead. I mean, so I started reading The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And because of my love of The Walking Dead, I started checking out other comics.
Like?
Now, well, nothing. You know, Hack Slash.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Invincible. Did you read other comics?
No. Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. Definitely like that. Not actually... you know, I heard about that before through because he did a kids cartoon called Invader Zim, which is crazy.
Yes, it is.
But not really, about the only writer I say that I'll check out something just because of their name is Hickman.
Yes.
If he does a non-superhero book,
I love Hickman.
I will check it out.
Do you read the Nightly News?
I have not.
Is it a Red Mask for Mars?
East of West. I have not.
Yeah, I love East of West.
I do check out East of West.
Manhattan Project.
You know what, Manhattan Project.
Love it. Check out Hickman on the Fantastic Four.
And just anything he does.
Hickman's Fantastic Four is one of the best mainstream comics ever.
We get it.
It's so good.
I'm so happy I have
The Walking Dead. It's the 10th anniversary. There's like 50 covers.
I thought there was only 10 covers.
No,
yeah, oh yeah, my
goodness. Didn't they just do that 15 issues ago?
There's 10 covers that form a picture. Then there's a blank variant, an anniversary variant, a midnight release variant.
So that's the reason.
A reach around hand job on your wallet variant.
Oh, yeah. So that's the reason.
But you don't need gas variant this week.
So that's the reason,
and also.
That's the reason Invincible has sucked, right? That's the reason Invincible has sucked because.
I just don't like superheroes.
Because Kirkman's so busy cashing the Walking Dead.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
You like, can't write
Larry has a
well.
Giant hard-on for Kirkman. And what I was going to say was, I read The Walking Dead when it first came out, and I thought it was cool, but I thought Invincible was amazing.
I liked Invincible as a little derivative. My favorite Kirkman is his Marvel team-up from back in the day. I have, all the issues of that.
A huge zombie
I always forget
fan.
His irredeemable Ant-Man.
So
thank
good.
You, Jules. It's in it.
So
there
good.
You go. It's so good.
Think about it. I'm a huge zombie fan. That's why I like The Walking Dead. It's a great character.
Yes.
You know, I'm not that big on his other works.
You can argue that
definitely.
Dead
Dexter's
the Walking
been good
Dead
too.
Used to be really awesome.
Now
thing.
It's just
like, you know,
it's
here's this character. You're like, well, he's dead.
Yeah, and The Walking Dead.
Well, we're not going to kill him. Well, fuck you. We are.
Yeah,
I watched.
But okay, if you're going to hold that against Kirkman, how come Game of Thrones is so good?
And that's exactly where I'm going. This is.
I don't even watch it, but everybody's like, oh my god, he just killed my favorite character. I hate him.
It's become an acceptable trend. To kill off the best characters that you have,
because
I think J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, what I was gonna say,
you know that
one of my first writer that I ever really followed.
Follow 7 books of that chick, and in the end they give you this whatever. I don't want to piss off the little kids ending.
But nobody
you know,
to watch
I mean, I can't believe that ruined the whole series for me. I was so pissed.
What I was gonna say, the first writer I ever followed, actually made leaps and bounds as far as comic books goes. Characters. Stained. It was Ron Mars.
Yeah.
Started picking up Green Lantern at like 45.
Nice.
Was his first book.
Nice.
Kills Hal Jordan.
Yep.
Kills all of his city.
Mm-hmm.
Kills Cyborg Superman. Go ahead and gets him out of the way. Puts in Kyle Rayner, kills his girlfriend, and just starts killing
everybody
to fix everything. Destroys the Dark Star.
Yes.
Destroys the entire Green Lantern Corps. Kills all.
It feels like that's sort of happening again.
Yeah.
In the current arc.
And then after that, and Hal Jordan just stayed dead. The Corps didn't come back for like 15 years. I mean. It was a great book. It was one of those, and you know,
that was pretty epic.
It was a pretty epic.
Because it stuck. It stuck for a long time.
Kyle was just hit by
himself. That's the thing.
I don't want to get into comic book death right now.
Well, they don't stick. Here's the thing, and we were talking about this earlier, man. Nightcrawler's coming back this month.
Yep.
Here's the thing about Nightcrawler. As soon as Nightcrawler died, there was like one book, a Wolverine book, that talked about Nightcrawler being dead. And then you didn't hear any other word about Nightcrawler.
Uncanny X-Force.
But they don't talk. Oh, they mentioned. Well, they had the one from the other.
Well, Psylocke.
Like Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, they had the Age of Apocalypse one.
When Psylocke and
Warren
start dating.
But they didn't talk about the Kurt Wagner from 616.
When Psylocke and Warren first start dating, she was dating Kurt before.
Yeah.
And she talks about it in the opening of the book where her and Warren start
remember
dating
book.
Again.
It's a Remender book.
It's a Remender book.
I didn't realize that, man.
Yeah.
It's really shitty luck for the guy she
dude! Because then she hooks up with Phantom X and he's off by the end of the arc. And I don't even know who she's with now.
She's not dating
getting a cycle synced with those chicks over at X-Men.
X-Men. But
she's a
sometimes.
And then they talk about it.
I cycle synced, yes. Yeah. Could you imagine that all-female X-Men team, if they're all in their cycle at the same time? It's on. Well, Puck is going to have a terrible time.
Backing up from that for a second.
Puck is going to have a terrible time.
That is a really good book.
Oh, no, it's a great book. I'm not talking smack. Right. Battle of the Atom this week. Wood. Rocket Wood.
But let me know the issue that becomes.
Dude, that would be a great arc. Puck walking around giving chocolate and
everybody. They all just rage. Let me know. I'm going to buy that issue just because it's going to be protested. It will cause people to burn.
Foot rubs and things like that.
Saying all that, guys, it's time to call it a day.
It's time to call it a day. Winner to end it on.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I'm waiting for that book.
I'm excited because, you know, Monet is
creative writing.
The next issue.
Yeah, Monet M.
Oh, dude, it's going to be awesome.
Read X Factor. Read X Factor.
Read X Factor if you never got around to it. Peter David's going to write a new book for Marvel. It's been announced. He's not going to let the stroke keep him down.
I would like to see him actually jump on the All-Girls team and write that. He can write an a really powerful, you know.
But that would require kicking Brian Wood off the book.
I don't mind.
I think they're co-writing. They could co-write it.
Yeah, they could co-write. I don't mind Brian Wood being off that. He's great.
I feel like Peter David could write it with somebody.
Yeah.
And all that being said, thank you, guys.
Yep, bye.
We'll be back next week.
Next time, bye.
Next time, bye.
Yep, bye.